the light of God that had come to our home. The scripture says, if your eyes in darkness, how great can that darkness be? I say these things because through Christmas time, we have spoken and we have sang and we've talked about the light of God. Even the song, this video, Emmanuel, Noel, the light of God. He is the object. He's the object of that light, of that hope that we can see, that we can know. As Jesus comes to our lives and we celebrate. Let me tell you about that light. My father fell in love with Jesus. On January 1st, the very next day, I remember he took a shower, shaved, changed his clothes, and went back to what he had organized. He was the president among the Latinos of the Communist Party. He took all his file folders and everything. He came and he handed them back. And he says, you will never, never see me here again. If you ever want to see me, come to church. You'll see me there. And that was the end of it all. And he fell in love with Jesus. And we began to pray as a family. I have a younger sister. Her name is Marcella. And at that age, she didn't feel like praying. Like most young people sometimes. Not all of them, but sometimes young people don't want to pray. And she didn't want to pray with us. And we would get together every Friday evening. And we would get together and we'd pray as a family. And we were in love with Jesus. So we would, I don't know, start at 7, 8, finish maybe 1, 2 in the morning. We'd pray into the night. And we rejoice and we sing scriptures. And we sing together. We're making up the time that we had lost for years and years without Dad. We were in love with Jesus. But my sister wouldn't come and pray. Until one morning, in the morning we were praying, maybe it was 1, 2, she came into the room. We prayed in our parents' room. And she came crying. And she said, I can't stand it no more. We said, Marcella, what's wrong? He says, every Friday that I don't pray with you, I go to the room. I read a little bit. I turn off the light. I can hear you guys praying downstairs. And then the light comes. In the darkness of my room, the light comes. And I become so afraid, I cover my head with the blankets. And even under the blankets, the light is there as you guys are praying. I can hear you praying. And I can't stand it anymore. I can't run from the light. The light is here. The light is here visiting me. So I have come to pray with you. That's the light of God. How great the darkness, how great, sometimes we sing how great the chasm that separates us between the world and the precious light of God. The precious light that wants to change and transform our lives. How great is that light? How great is the mercy? The beautiful thing about the light is like it says in the book of John, that where there is light, that the darkness retreats, goes back, retreats from the light of God. And according to the word of God, we understand that the plan of God made it so that on a particular day, in the schedule of God, the Son of God came into the synagogue, and every step that he took thundered through the ground. The demons retreated. The religion that was holding bond of that culture retreated as a king of kings. And the son of God was walking towards the synagogue and he was handed the scroll and he opened it in front of the congregation, those who knew him, and said, the Spirit of God is upon me and has anointed me to be a blessing and to heal the sick and to do the good day of the Lord. And he stood up and he said, on this day, this prophecy has come to pass before you. And the light of God was shining upon us. Everybody was stunned with the light of God. That is the light of our Savior. That is the light of God that is here to transform us. How great is that darkness? The darkness It cannot be more powerful than that beautiful light of God. How beautiful is this light? I was reading, and I want to invite you to look at, in the book of Isaiah. We've read it through Christmas so many times. In Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, we humbled and Zebulun and Naphtali, but in the future, he will hold Galilee for the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan." Then it says in verse 2, chapter 9, Isaiah, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Praise God. And there's a huge contrast between the chapter 9 and chapter 8. I don't know if you ever noticed that. I've noticed that when reading scripture, when you read particular verses that we're familiar with, it's like driving in the city on the roads that we know the most. You ever done that? Drive down 23rd Avenue? Drive down 20th, but you don't know what's on 21st and on 20th, right? You drive on the white mud and you know the white mud inside out, but you don't know what's on the adjacent streets and roads and avenues sometimes. Well, sometimes scripture is like that. And we read passages like this one or across the page on verse 6 and on verse 8 or 7, and we know this familiar scripture, but have you noticed what's on chapter 8? In chapter 8, it talks about the same people that were going to be receiving the light of God that were without hope. You know what they were doing? In verses just above, it says that they were consulting the dead. They wanted to know which way to go. The darkness of the occult, even, was among them, and they were consulting the dead, consulting other sources, spiritual sources, to find their way in the darkness. How terrible is that? But the mercy of God can reach out with his loving hand and turn on the light and bless us and bring us out of the darkness into the light. The light is a beautiful thing. The object of the light, for a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful and Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. No end of his mercy, no end of his reach, no end to what he can do, of his creativity. The things that we can hardly imagine that can be changed will be changed by him. He is the object of that light. And praise God for that light that has come to our hearts. Praise God. I love Christmas. I married my wife, and I found that she loves Christmas too. And we love lighting up our house. Just on the way here, she says that, "Do you realize our electric bill went up by over $100? She said, and I smiled. I said, "Praise God," I said. Because I like to light up my house because I want the neighbors to see that we are happy about Christmas because we're in love with Christ. The object of Christmas, the object of the light is he, the son that was given to give us new life, to change us from the darkness, the deep darkness, into the light of God. Let the bill go up. Praise God. The scriptures speak about the scriptures speak about a time of how should I say this? The word is apostasy. That's the word. The scriptures speak about a time of apostasy in the book of 1 Samuel, and it speaks about a man named Eli. He was a priest in the temple. And God had ordained a temple, and they had all the artifacts of the temple, and they had the priesthood, and they had the tablets of the law inside the Ark of the Covenant. They had the menorah, and they had the basin to wash and to the to do the sacrifices and the altar, and all of that had become token articles that represented the things of God, but had no meaning in the time of apostasy during the time that Eli was the priest in Israel. And they had lost the Ark of the Covenant. And the glory of God was departed. It was exiled. It was in another country altogether. It was of the Philistines. And Eli, the word of God says that he was an old man. He was a heavy man. And his eyes were dim. And I thought, I read that and I thought, how interesting is that? That he had lost the vision of what the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies and the temple and the presence of God and the things of God. And his eyes have become dim. And I'm sure the scriptures are talking about his old age and everything else, but I'm thinking, okay, well, there's more meaning to that. Because metaphorically, he's also in darkness. When God called Samuel in the middle of the night, he says, just before the light in the temple went out, just before there was a chasm between the revelation of God through the temple elements and the prophetic word, before that light completely vanished, God spoke in the darkness and said, Samuel, Samuel, in a time in which there was a priest who was instructed, who knew all the things about the glory of God, but he had lost the vision. He had lost his love. He has lost his first love for God, and his eyesight was dim. The eye is the lamp of the body, like Matthew chapter 6 says. And if the eye has light, then how great is the light? But if you lose the light, how great is darkness? Do you know why I say this? It's because there's a parable. And I brought no coins. There's a parable where the Bible says that there was a woman that had 10 coins. And she lost one. And she lost the coin, and she lost the one coin inside the house. And she turned on the lamp, and she swept the house, and she moved all the furniture until she found that one coin. One day, my wife was asking me, what's with that? I said, well, that's part of three parables together. There's a man that had two sons. A shepherd that has 100 sheep, and there was a woman that has 10 coins. And there's one in two, one in 100, and one in 10. And the sheep out of 100 that was lost somewhere out there and didn't know it was lost and didn't know how to get back. And the coin that was lost is lost inside the house and doesn't know that it's lost. And the son, the one out of the two, he knows it's lost. He's far away from home, and he knows how to come back. The coin that is lost is lost inside the house. Eli was inside the house, inside the temple. He was familiar with the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies and the menorah and all the things that are symbols of the gospel in the Old Testament about God. And he had lost his sight. He was inside the house and he was lost. Why do I say this? Because here we are inside the house. And I'm asking myself, the eye is the lamp of the body. Are we seeing the light? Are we loving the light? Are we being benefited by the whole glow of God throughout ourselves? Because when the light comes in, it shines its light and it reveals everything that is within us. We stand in front of the scripture and we look like in a mirror and we say, okay, I know that that's not right. And are we honest enough to say, oh God, you know, this is not right, Lord, make it right inside of me. I can't do it, but you, with your power, through your love and through your mercy, I can be better. Eli was lost inside the house. He had lost the light and the lamp in his eye. He has lost the mark. Interestingly enough, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34, it talks about Moses. Moses died of 120 years old. Wow, that's really old. 120 years old. And it says that he had not diminished in his strength and that there was no dimness in his eye. You hear that? There was no dimness in his eye. He was seeing the full vision. God took him to the mountain and he saw the promised land. And he looked and he saw. He looked and he saw, this is where the Messiah is going to come. This is the promises of God materialized. I know that he lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that even if I die, God will raise me from the dust. There was no dimness in his eye because his eye was full of the promises of God. Through full of the experience of God, he had treasured in his heart. And although God called him to be alone at the end of his life, he left the camp. And he went into the mountain and only God buried Moses. He was not in sorrow. He was not sad. He knew he was with God. He knew where he was going. There was no dimness in his eye. Beautiful is the object of the light, isn't it? He is so beautiful. He comes to do us well. Pastor Johnny said, hey, Pablo, would you like to finish the year with a final sermon on Sundays? I said, Pastor, it would be an honor. I want to take you at the end of it all to the book of Hebrews. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 11. And it talks about the heroes of the faith. And this is another avenue or street that is well familiar to us. And in verse 32, it says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jethro and about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in the battle and rooted foreign armies, wandered and received back their dead and raised to life again. There were others who were tortured and refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins and destitute and persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These are all commended for their faith, and yet none of them received what they had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that together with us they would be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, praise God, let us throw off everything that it hinders us, hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on the light. If the eyes are the lamp of the body, and if the eye has light, the whole body is full of the light, is healthy. And he says to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the light. John in the gospel said, and we saw his glory. Glory like the only begotten Son of God. We saw the miracles. We saw what he has done. And I ask, for us, have we not seen his glory? Let us keep our eyes fixed on him. I want to pray with you. I'm going to invite the music group, amen, and let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, how we love you. How we praise you in this beautiful day that you've given us light. You've brought light into our bodies, into our minds to renew us and to make us new again. Lord Jesus, I pray that those who have not known you or known the light, who live in darkness, Lord God, that they will reconcile their hearts unto you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.